Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 48. Ben Flanagan of Aspect Radio. Matt Scalisi, editor of FilmNerds.com.
What's up, Ben?
Matt, what's up, man?
So, it's been a few days, but we both saw the new M. Night Shyamalan movie on opening weekend. And this was a weird movie, and we actually have already done an FNU episode about this. I think Graham and I did it when the trailer first came out, because I hadn't read anything about this. I didn't know it existed until really recently. He kind of like snuck this project past everybody and got it out there into theaters. And to be honest, I haven't even checked the box office to see how it's done.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that, I don't know the exact number, I'm looking at it now, but I think that that movie, The Perfect Guy, actually ended up winning the weekend.
It did, but barely, actually. The Visit finished second with $25.4 million. And, you know, it was not a huge, I mean, according to Box Office Mojo, the production budget was $5 million, which is kind of hard to believe. But I mean, if that, I'm sure it wasn't a ton more than that, even with the marketing. So, I mean, $28 million is not a bad opening for a low budget horror movie in September, I guess, right?
No, yeah, I think that they should feel really good about that, especially if, in fact, $5 million was the production budget. And you know, we know that the reported production budget is often just a fraction of what it actually is.
Sure.
But that's a pretty solid starter anyway for you know, the growth that they have so far. I think that word of mouth is going to, in a weird way, help this movie and perhaps hurt it in parts, but I think it's going to get people talking who see it. And that's what M. Night Shyamalan movies traditionally, anyway, in the glory days of Shyamalan's work, have done in the past. And for me, Matt, I don't know specifically how you feel about it. You know, I've kind of heard a broad take, but I think that this was certainly a step in the right direction for him. I mean, his obvious trademark flair, his deliberate pace, his noted compositions and general creepiness, they definitely rear their heads throughout this entire experience with, you know, there are definitely stumbles along the way, and there are some strange decisions on his part that he makes from a character standpoint and at times from a story standpoint. But I think for the most part, it's a really fun experience. And you know, I'm a fan of a lot of his work. Obviously, I love Unbreakable. I like The Sixth Sense a lot. I'm a huge fan of The Village. And you know, you and Graham have covered, you know, how you feel about Shyamalan's filmography in the past. But I, you know, where I think this stands among his filmography right now, I think this is probably middle tier Shyamalan, in that it's better than Lady in the Water. It's better than The Happening. And I think that the question people might have would be, well, how couldn't it be better than those movies?
Yeah,
but
I think that's what's surprising about it, Ben. It's like, I don't think we thought he was going to go back to this tier.
No, yeah, exactly. And I think for people who loved those early movies that I just mentioned, this is a good feeling that you have watching this movie. Now, my biggest question going into it, Matt, and please tell me just sort of like your general overview on how you felt about the movie, and this might have a lot to do with it. My big question going into it and coming out of it was, why is The Visit a found footage movie? And I still feel that way. I'm still confused as to why Shyamalan, somebody with such a distinct style and such a steady hand, and somebody who is, yes, you know, famous for the compositions that he's able to bring to the table with each of these very eerily shot and told stories. I just don't understand why he opted to do this. And I personally don't really understand why any movies are found footage movies. It hasn't worked for me since 1999, when the Blair Witch Project did it well. And I think everybody since then has kind of been a poser, you know, and has misused it. But did that aspect work for you? And did you like the movie overall?
So here's the thing. I don't know how much we've talked about this before. I don't hate found footage horror movies. I mean, I, I,
I would probably acknowledge most of them are not good movies, but I think the gimmick creates opportunities for fun moments in these movies. I think for the most part, they're mostly not good movies because the people making them are not good at making movies. They're not good at writing movies, certainly, but also nobody else involved in the production is typically very experienced. I mean, it's a cheap way to make a movie, and so you can hire a lot of bad actors, and you can have, you know, people who don't really know anything about professional cinematography or writing or anything like that, and make a movie that has a certain effect to it that is creepy and achieves, you know, the goal of scaring people. And they're just typically, I that's why I think most of them aren't good, because I've seen good found footage horror movies. They're just very, very rare. Not very many of them exist at all. But I would say this is one of the, in that genre, this is one of the better movies that is a found footage movie. I'm not saying that this, I agree with you, this is middle tier Shyamalan, and I think there are a lot of flaws in this movie. And I think this isn't necessarily one of the best horror movies of the last few years, but it's really effective at what it is and what it's trying to do. And I think Shyamalan, I think it is a found footage movie for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think that Shyamalan perhaps found himself in a position where he needed to make a $5 million movie if he wanted to make another movie, right? Because it's not gone all that well for him. I mean, after the debacles of Lady in the Water and The Happening, I don't remember how much money The Last Airbender made, but that we all viewed that as just sort of him trying to, you know, put food on the table, basically. You know, After Earth was just a thrown away thing that nobody paid attention to. So I don't think this guy's in a position where he can go and make an original film that he wrote and directed that costs a lot of money. So that's number one. But number two, I actually think he took the opportunity here in a lot of places in this movie to almost make a bit of a commentary on the found footage genre. I mean, I think he's being clever about it, and he's winking at the audience about the fact that it's found footage. You know, it feels, it does not at any point feel like a movie that you are supposed to believe is actual footage that was found. It does not try to give you that sort of realistic Blair Witch thing where everyone's acting super naturalistically. I mean, the actors are, you know, uppercase acting, you know, in almost an over-the-top cheesy manner. And, you know, I think that's intentional. I think he's never at any point trying to pretend that this isn't a movie, you know? I just think the combination of those two things tells me he's doing this as a bit of a take on what he knows is a very profitable genre right now.
Yeah, and he also might have felt the need to reinvent himself in some way, whether that was making a movie that using the style that we're accustomed to, perhaps in just a slightly different way and method, or if it was adopting a trope that has, you know, found success in spurts, and that being the found footage. You know, the thing that bothers me about the found footage thing really is that no one ever reasonably justifies filming everything that they do the way that they do in the movie. And I think that the filming quality, where you have multiple cameras going, especially every single
multi-camera
shot.
Multi-camera is definitely the part that it's hard to get over, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And that, to me, is where like the consistency really drops off with a lot of these found footage movies. And this one, too. I think that, you know, just strictly from a production standpoint, I think they're pretty clean in terms of you knowing where every camera is at all times, and they follow that rule okay. I just think that this particular story, at least when you break it down to its fundamental parts, just on paper, narratively, it has so much potential in a traditional format, especially for a filmmaker like Shyamalan. This story, to me, speaks to, or really, really has a lot of potential in terms of lining up with the stylist that is M. Night Shyamalan. If you look at his past work, no matter what movie it is, especially the successful ones. I mean, if you just said, if you described to me the plot of this movie and said M. Night Shyamalan is directing it, and I would have just assumed that he's going to make it like he has his past movies, I would have thought, great, that sounds right up his alley. And then if you tossed in the monkey wrench of, no, it's a found footage movie, I would have said, wait, why? And I'm still, after seeing the movie, I just kind of still feel that way. I don't think that it was necessary. And you're right. You know, he might be making a comment on how to do it. I just think that, I don't know, just you're so aware of every moment of a found footage movie. And I think that it kind of distracts audiences in ways, in terms of like calling the filmmakers and characters, obviously, who are using the cameras on their mistakes and really wondering why it is, again, they're filming all of this stuff the way they are, because no human being actually does that I know of. I mean, we live in this cell phone culture, certainly, where, you know, we film things poorly, but in the end, with found footage movies, they don't film them poorly. They film them very well, and you're able to see exactly what you're meant to see.
Well,
and,
that's justified in this movie, though, by making the main character, or one of the two main characters, you know, it's introduced very early on that she's a nerd, and she's a film geek, you know, that is trying to be a filmmaker. And so she's, you know, there's a lot of jokes about her choices as a filmmaker that she's making as she's filming all of this stuff. And, you know, and honestly, there, I think a couple of those references are not accidental. There's at least one reference I remember to Michael Myers and Halloween in this movie that's made. And I think he possibly is observing the fact that that's basically what you're doing when you do a found footage movie. When it works, what you are doing is pulling out some old tricks that John Carpenter was using in the 70s. It's not new. You're just making people have to wade through a bunch of crap to get to those tricks. And I think Shyamalan used a lot of the gags and the bag of tricks that you get from a found footage movie. I think he used a lot of those really, really well in this movie. Way better than any of the Paranormal Activity guys do. And that's not surprising to me, because M. Night Shyamalan knows how to actually make movies. So this is probably one of the most qualified people that's ever made a found footage horror movie.
Yeah, he did know how to make them at one point, and we think he knows how to make them again.
He at least knows how to move a camera around. I don't think we've ever felt like that wasn't the case. You know, I mean, even in Lady in the Water and The Happening and some of these movies we didn't really like that much, I always felt like those movies failed at the screenplay level.
They have a lot to offer visually.
Yeah, they were fundamentally flawed as stories. But I think he always knew what he was doing with the camera. And to me, that's what, you know, he gets a little bit of freedom with the camera in this movie from that found footage format. And he does some cool things with it. I mean, I just off the top of my head, stuff that's, you know, and this is obviously, we're spoiling the hell out of this movie, but just off the top of my head, some things that I remember watching it and going, all right, Shyamalan gets how to do this. This is good, and this is working for him. Number one, the entire under the house hide and seek sequence, I thought was really cool, and I thought that was like, it was so early in the movie for that to happen too, that it kind of catches you off guard. And then, you know, I think he plays with this gag that happens in every found footage horror movie, okay? Every single one of these, eventually somebody involved in the story goes, well, you know, look, we got all these cameras and this stuff keeps happening, so let's just leave one of the cameras out and then let's go get it and look at it later. So he does that, and I think it actually goes really well when he does it, because it doesn't work entirely right. Because what happens is, when the characters leave the camera out, the crazy scary thing that happens to it puts the camera in a bad position. You know, I think that's funny. I think he's making fun of that gag. And that's actually, it's still a scary moment, but it's like, yeah, you didn't get what you thought you were going to get out of that, because it wouldn't work that way. And another one, by the way, I think the big reveal, and I want to ask you about this too. So this movie, in Shyamalan fashion, of course, has a big plot reveal, a big twist. And first of all, I have to say it was hugely effective for me. I audibly gasped and enjoyed the twist. And I think at least a part of it was because of how he filmed it. It was this very unassuming moment with no big dramatic buildup, where it's just a kid pointing a laptop out a window, and then all of a sudden when he comes back into the frame of the camera, like, then we get some news delivered to us that suddenly, you know, changes everything, and it explains everything that's been happening, and it sets the tone for the last act of the movie. And I honestly think it's one of the best twists he's ever done, just screenplay wise, with how that moment is handled and what it actually does to the movie.
Yeah, Shyamalan, the twist guy, is back.
Yeah,
you know, like what he's obviously, his reputation soon became that his movies have twists, and I think that he obviously wanted to get away from that at one point in his career, especially when they started to not work quite as well, and audience didn't really go for them the way they did with his first few movies. But I think he hit a bullseye here with this one, and strictly from a story standpoint, I think it's I think it's very effective and very disturbing, you know. And I think that what's great about this movie is how well he plays with tone, and he shifts back and forth between this being a very, very dark comedy, because there are just some outrageous things and there is some outrageous imagery throughout the movie, where I remember watching it thinking, wait, what? Like, this is even kind of weird and dark for Shyamalan. I mean, you're talking about, like, old lady nudity in the middle of the night on a couple of different occasions, and you're just,
it's
like, wait,
it's still PG-13 though. It's like, and it, you know what? It's like a good PG-13 scary movie. Like,
oh yeah,
I would show this to like a 13 or 14 year old.
Yeah, and the biggest strength, I think, of the movie, obviously, are the grandparents, and once they get to the house, and everything that happens with them is interesting visually and tonally, and you just never really know what's going to happen next. You know things are going to get weird, and obviously they do sort of sporadically, but when the S hits the fan, so to speak, during the climax of this movie, it gets really scary really fast, and there are moments leading up to that, again, that are pretty disturbing, and most of it involves children, too, which,
yeah,
I think is a risky move on his part, but one that pays off. You know, I don't love the performances of the two children in the movie. I think that they're definitely serviceable, and they don't distract too much. They only distract when this little piss ant starts rapping on a few occasions.
It's awful. Okay, yeah. Let's get that out of the way. The rapping, I don't understand how this happened and why no one told M. Night Shyamalan to take that out of the movie.
Yeah, it's a really bizarre decision.
But look, I mean, thankfully we don't get all that much of it, and
we get way more than we need.
We move
sure,
on,
especially since it's not 1993. A and B, it's just the worst possible thing you could have done.
I don't understand how it happened.
Well, so Matt, one thing, you know, we talk about how ridiculous and bad a movie like The Happening is, but you know, I talked to somebody else about this earlier, and the way I described it to them was, you know, you can say what you want about The Happening, but there's a pretty great moment in it involving an elderly woman who has this unbelievable line to Mark Wahlberg,
yeah,
where she says, "Why are you eyeing my lemon drink?" And it's just YouTube it. It makes no sense. It's just wonderful as it happens and bizarre in all the best ways. To me, The Visit is kind of like the feature film version,
yeah,
of that moment.
That's
in
a great
the
point. It is like that. Yeah,
and that's okay with me.
It's all like creepy old. It's every creepy old person moment packed into one movie, and I mean, there's so many of them. Like, I've started to see TV campaigns for this movie now that have a lot more footage from the movie in it. One of them uses almost in its entirety a scene that is one of the most effective scenes in the movie, where there's this extremely tense moment where basically everybody knows what's going on at this point. All the characters are up to speed and have all the information, and they still have to go through this ruse where they're sitting at a table together and playing Yahtzee. And it's really, really great scene. And like that whole scene is just full of this. You know, I think what he's got figured out is the thing that scares kids about old people is they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. And the old people don't bother to explain themselves. And in this case, it's because obviously there's something really bad going on. But it just in general, I think that's what the slow build of it is like these older people that you're around do a lot of stuff that you don't understand, and they're not going to take the time to explain to you why they're doing it. And that scene is just that idea just amped up to the nth degree, where everything is so weird, and it almost feels like the camera's being cranked too fast, even though I don't think it is. But, you know, like that moment, that whole scene to me, I just think it's one of the better things that Shyamalan's done in a very long time. I mean, going way back. I mean, I don't know that he had anything that felt that intense to me in any movie that he's done. It's a very new thing for him to make a movie that's this suspenseful. You know, a lot of his movies, even when they're scary, they're kind of contemplative. Like, this is just raw tension for a good portion of it. And, you know, that's not to say that there's not, like, character moments in it too, which I also think, Ben, is a real strength of this movie. You know, he gives us some moments with the kids that give us some backstory about them. And a thing that feels very much like what he's done in his other good movies before is he makes the characters have to overcome these personal struggles they've gone through in their lives in order to get out of the situation they're in. It's kind of ripped right from Signs a little bit, but I think it actually works better here because it's not some kind of weird, miraculous thing that happens where whatever the explanation is in Signs, like where basically God made it so that there's water glasses everywhere. Like, you know, it's not about coincidence. It's that these kids, when they face their biggest moments in this movie, they're facing a situation where they have to overcome their biggest personal fear in order to, you know, in order to survive the situation. Which I think is really good writing on his part too, you know. And I mean, I think they were also happened to be the strongest acting moments for these two kid actors.
Yeah, I think it works better with the girl than it does the boy, honestly. But I think that the big moment that you're talking about at the end, when the boy, for instance, has to face that fear and is confronted during one of the climactic sequences, is just a really intense sequence. And it's really, again, another piece of that disturbing imagery. What I think is so funny is how there are lots of, like, old people jokes in this movie. So there are jokes about bladder control. There are jokes about diapers, Yahtzee. There are jokes about this and that. And you mentioned, too, before that, you know, that things aren't really specifically explained to kids other than to say they're old. They're just
right.
Old.
Right.
You know, and these things happen. And so it's not really fair to the kids, especially kids who have really gone through as much emotional trauma as they have up to that point. And that, you're right, adds a little more depth than I think people expected with this movie. And something that I do appreciate about the quality of the writing and the storytelling. But really what I love so much about it, again, going back to that tone thing and how he bounces back from scary to funny, I think really works during the climax of the movie, where I sat there watching and thought, wow, this is actually really scary. And I think that this is really going to throw people for a loop when they watch it, especially when the camera isn't really moving a lot and you can see everything happening all at the same time without having to worry about picking it out of the frame. It's just right there in front of you. And again, I mentioned a moment about a diaper that happens later in the movie, which is really, truly scary and disgusting, but just a really fun moment in a horror movie. And that's all you could really ask for that Shyamalan deliver with this movie. I don't think that people want The Sixth Sense or want Unbreakable or Signs with this, in terms of the level of experience that they have when they watch it, you know, from the standpoint of the story, I think they wanted to have fun with The Visit. And I think that's what M. Night Shyamalan wants to do. And again, all you can really ask for is that this guy takes a step back in the right direction and starts looking and sounding like the filmmaker that we knew him to be with those first few movies. And I think that he's done that.
Let me ask you just before we wrap up, Ben, I think one concern a lot of people had going into this movie, and I know we've talked about it with our fellow film nerds, is just, it is a horror movie, and it's also a horror movie that is meant to, I think, certainly intended to have a fun element to it. You know, you are meant to be screaming and laughing, and it's that kind of scary movie. I wonder how you feel about whether it's exploitative at all in terms of how it treats the old, but particularly the mentally ill. I mean, there's nothing new about having mentally ill characters be the villains of horror movies, but do you feel like it ever goes too far in this movie?
No, I just think that it's a matter of circumstance, you know, and the fact that there are criminally insane people out there, but this movie does not, even though it uses something like the found footage format, which I think has its roots in hyper-realism in something like Blair Witch, for instance, or Man Bites Dog, it never really goes for hyper-realism, okay? And it's just telling kind of a traditional horror story where, like you said, in the past, there have been these horror movies and stories where the criminally insane or mentally ill or people with mental illnesses have been the villains or have you know, been the source of a lot of the fear that you're seeing in the film. And no, I didn't have a problem with it as I was watching. I think that this movie is just having fun and shouldn't worry about offending anybody in that way. Because, I mean, again, just the idea of this movie on paper of, you know, kids going to visit their grandparents and it turning into this, like, who knows what kind of just horrible experience, horrifying experience. That just sounded like a lot of fun to me on paper. And I think that that's for the most part what they delivered. But I mean, is that something that you thought about as you were watching it? Or is it something that you read about later or heard somebody say later? Have you seen anybody offended by that aspect?
I haven't, but I haven't really dug around all that much for it. I would say the only moment where I really thought about in the movie of like, damn, this kind of isn't this particular thing isn't really fun, and I don't know how I feel about it. There's a moment where Pop, she goes to find him in the shed where he spends a lot of his time, and she walks in on him polishing his gun with his mouth, and I felt like, good Lord, this is some dark stuff. Like,
yeah,
I
would that say, was definitely...
I don't know that it's necessarily like, I don't think it's making fun of suicidal people, but I did think that like, it shows how wide this movie ranges in terms. Like, I mean, you're right. There's some stuff where it goes really, really dark. That's part of it. I would say there's a couple of moments where it suggests that the Nana character is also sort of suicidal. Like, the scene where she sort of starts tying a scarf around her face.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
She hits herself.
Right. It's really scary more than anything.
Yep.
And even the scene with the gun is scary too. I mean, like, it just puts the whole scene, you know, it ratchets the tension up in the scene because now suddenly you don't know what he's going to do. You know,
yep.
He was about to do that and now you don't know if he's going to hurt somebody else. So I don't think it's so much about making light of the fact that these people are suicidal, because in general, I'd say the way they're portrayed in this movie is they're just completely unpredictable. There's just absolutely no telling what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, and if this movie had to choose what genre it belonged in, it would be horror for sure. And
yeah.
It happens to be a horror movie where scary things happen, and horror movies shouldn't have to worry about offending the audience. They should want to do that in and scare the crap out of them. And that image, yes, is probably the darkest of the movie. Maybe there are others that rival it, but that was a moment where I thought, wow, this is frightening, and this is what a horror movie should do.
All right. Well, I would say I overall I don't know if it was because of my expectations or what. I came away really liking it, though. I mean, I walked out of it saying, damn, that was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I mean, it does have its problems for sure, but I'm going to chalk that up to rust on the part of Shyamalan. And, you know, he deserves some of the benefit out, I think, because of a lot of the work that he has done prior to his, let's say, slump that he had with the movies. But it's good to see him back in this arena, and I hope he stays here for a while. And I hope he continues to challenge himself, say, with like a modest budget, a simple idea. It seems to have worked in his favor this time. And I hope that the critical response and obviously the success that they have with the modest budget and the box office that they've had so far inspires him to keep doing it, because again, I think it's a step in the right direction. It's in the plus column.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.